Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I share quick insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who was able to turn my own frustration from being in an unfulfilling career into the framework I now use to help other women find their fulfilling career and job search with confidence. Let's dive in. The U.S. National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health defines work stress as the harmful physical and emotional responses that occur when the requirements of a job don't match the capabilities, resources, or needs of the worker. I think this definition is really important because it speaks to the dual nature of work stress in that there's the individual piece. So the onus on some level is on individuals to be able to potentially advocate for themselves in terms of getting the resources they need, but also really engaging in enough reflection and self-awareness to know when a role doesn't match their needs and they need to exit. And at the same time, it also speaks to the onus that is on organizations to be providing resources for workers, right? To be creating settings, situations, and spaces that do meet the needs of workers. Because work stress has been linked to negative physical and mental health outcomes. I've talked about this in previous episodes. Definitely check those out if you haven't already. And negative individual outcomes, so when employees' physical and mental health are suffering, impacts the organization at the end of the day. It impacts the organization level in the form of higher rates of absenteeism, higher employee turnover, lower productivity, higher medical, legal, and insurance costs. So organizations honestly just can't afford to ignore work stress and act like it's not a problem. And last week, I shared seven causes of work stress, and I mentioned how the first step to really addressing work stress is understanding where it's coming from. But once you've identified that you're experiencing work stress, once you've identified the source of work stress or that, you know, work stress is a problem in your organization, if you're a leader listening to this and you're thinking, I do have a pretty stressed out team or group of people that are working with us, how exactly do you address it? So there are three tiers for addressing work stress. Tier one, if you think of the very first level, tier one are preventative strategies, so interventions that help prevent work stress from even setting in. Tier two refers to coping strategies. These are interventions that focus on developing coping mechanisms to deal with stress. And tier three strategies are focused on stress management. So this is when stress is already set in and these interventions are focused on really treating or repairing the harmful outcomes of stressors that were not coped with efficiently when they first set in. So let's talk about individual and organizational strategies for reducing or managing stress across all three of these tiers. Like I said, tier one strategies or tier one interventions are those interventions that address stress by either reducing or even removing potential stresses entirely before they can become a problem. So this type of intervention is focused on addressing potential sources of physical or emotional or mental or even just psychosocial stress at work. At the individual level, so if you're thinking of, you know, you as a person thinking about yourself at work and what are some things that you can do to prevent stress from setting in? What are some strategies that you can use, which is what tier one means? Well, I want to share four specific things that you can do. The first one is developing better planning skills. So really just improving your ability to plan out how you will accomplish your work tasks and really creating a vision for reaching your goals. Because when you write things down, when you have a clear vision, it just even the act of doing that, if done with strategy, can reduce the overwhelm that can occur when you're just thinking of big tasks. When you just leave them in your head, they seem insurmountable. It seems like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to accomplish this? I don't have the strategies or the tools that I need. But when you write things down, when you create a plan, then all you have to do is follow your plan step by step by step. So if you're going to create plans that help you reduce stress, it's going to be important that you're getting clarification and tasks from your manager or supervisor, making sure that you're actually doing work that is relevant, right? Like you're actually doing work that you need to be doing that is moving you towards your KPIs and knowing what your KPIs are, so your key performance indicators. And get a work journal. Okay. But if you don't already have a work journal, definitely start one. It can be used for reflection, but also it can be where you start, where you plan out things, where you make your lists, where you vision cast your goals and your achievements and how you're going to reach your goals. So making sure that you're writing things down. The second thing that you can do for yourself as a tier one strategy is developing better time management. So increasing your ability to establish goals, to identify your priorities, to monitor your progress towards attaining your goals so that you can better manage your time overall. For a lot of people, when you feel like you don't have enough time to accomplish everything that's on your plate, that in itself can cause you to feel stressed. And so if you develop better time management skills, that allows you to minimize stress. And I know I see this in my day, in my work, in my week, all of the above. So one thing I like to do on Sundays is I sit down and I plan out the entire week. What are the goals I need to achieve? And then I break down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like throughout days of the week, what am I doing on what day? And there's a marked difference on the days when I do that, the weeks when I do that and the weeks when I don't. When I go into my week without a plan, I usually will always have a list of what I need to accomplish. But when I haven't mapped out, broken it down across the week, I'm working frantically. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I can just tell a difference in my energy and my emotional state. So I definitely encourage you to spend some time planning. Use planning methods that work for you, whether it's a physical planner or a digital planner. Break larger tasks into smaller tasks across the week and just set regular deadlines and check-in points for yourself. A third tier one strategy that you can use is really making sure that you are in an aligned role. I gave that definition of work stress at the beginning for a reason. When the requirements of the job don't match your needs as an employee, you're going to be stressed because you're always working out of alignment. And it is impossible to feel calm and peace when you're in a place of misalignment. So it's important that you are in a role that is aligned with your values, is aligned with your interests, and is aligned with your skills that will move you forward in your job with some semblance of peace. And if you're listening and you're like, okay, how do I figure out what that role is? That's exactly what I help my clients do in my group coaching program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. So definitely check out findyourfulfillingcareer.com. It's a small group coaching program that helps women who are unhappy at work get clarity about what their next career move needs to be and the confidence to make that career move. So the fourth tier one intervention that you can use is just constantly monitoring and managing your work environment. So really being aware of whether it's your physical or even just your mental workspace. The more regularly you are aware of the people around you, the energy around you, the work that's happening around you, the easier it will be for you to identify sources of potential triggers for work stress before they even set in. So if you're engaging in regular journaling and reflecting on your workday, reflecting on interactions at work, it can help you start to see or even identify patterns that might be getting in the way or that might serve as potential triggers for work stress. At the organizational level, some tier one or preventative strategies that companies can be intentional about implementing include creating workspaces that are just physically safe and ergonomically sound for employees. So what did the offices look like? What kind of furniture are your staff using? What does the layout of the office look like? Promoting a culture of regular breaks in the workday. Really, that's just, death to this hustle culture and just go, 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 go. We all have deadlines to meet. Work is never going to end. It's never going to go anywhere. But don't run your employees to the ground. Really promote a culture where it's okay to step out for 15 minutes and take a walk. Like 15 minutes outside is going to do a lot more for your employees' mental health than is going to do for your bottom line in terms of negatively impacting your bottom line. They're going to come back productive, come back more reinvigorated. So really just promoting that culture of regular breaks. Increasing employee participation in decision-making and work planning. So I've talked in some episode in this series, I honestly don't remember which one at this point, but I talked about how one thing that can lead to stress is when employees feel like they don't have choice or a say in work and how work is being done. So really increasing participation in making decisions to the best of your ability can make a marked difference. And then making sure that you're matching job descriptions with employee skills and qualifications. Don't hire people for roles that are misaligned as it relates to resources, abilities, and needs. And create clear pathways to promotion, rewards, and advancement so that your team knows where their work is leading. They know what is going to be the outcome of this role for them professionally. So let's move on to tier two. Okay, so the tier two interventions address stress by supporting the development of coping strategies or skills. So coping skills refer to your ability to actually deal with stressful situations in a way that generally doesn't lead to negative health outcomes. So at the individual level, you can use two different kinds of coping strategies. Okay, you can use coping strategies that are either focused on the solution, so focused on taking action that changes your situation or changes your response to the situation, or you can implement coping strategies that are focused on emotional expression. So they don't actively remove or reduce the job stresses, but they allow you to express or purge emotions that might be exacerbating feelings of stress. So if we think of solution-focused coping strategies, it will look like setting clear work boundaries for yourself at work and using conflict resolution strategies when needed. Some emotional-focused expression of coping strategies will include journaling regularly about your emotions, so really writing out those emotions so you can process them, cultivating a tribe of people who can support you, and really embracing and adopting mindset shifts that allow you to look at yourself from a strengths-based approach instead of a weakness focus. So really identify what are those negative self-talks that are actually stressing you out and exacerbating your anxiety at work, and how can you start to shift it to more liberating statements and beliefs and thoughts about yourself that energize you and invigorate you to do your work. At the organizational level, some tier two interventions that companies can use to help employees develop effective coping strategies include establishing mentoring programs that provide space for employees to receive a regular stream of support, to get resource support, to get emotional outlets professionally without feeling like they're going to be penalized for it. Establishing ERGs, so employee resource groups, for the same reasons listed previously, but identity-specific ERGs can provide very specific safe spaces for employees to navigate these stressful situations. So when doing this, it's very important that you're definitely consulting the research that shows the impact of resource groups and strategies for creating spaces where people actually feel safe enough to leverage the ERGs. So having an ERG for the sake of it, if people don't actually feel safe enough to participate, is pointless. Okay. Doing routine health surveillances, so screening for high blood pressure and stress symptoms, engaging in training and education of your employees about stress, the signs of stress, the impact of stress, strategies for navigating stress, making sure you consult with an actual professional when you are implementing training and education like this for your employees. I mean, shameless plug here, you can consult with me. I'm happy to come into your organization and, you know, consult on ways that you can shift things around to make your spaces and your workspaces more physically and psychologically safer for employees. Tier three interventions are generally implemented for individuals who are already experiencing stress. So tier three interventions are focused on managing stress by either treating or repairing the harm that has set in because of stress. At the individual level, some tier three stress management strategies that you can use if you find that, okay, I've already reached that point where I'm experiencing work stress, feel like I'm about to burn out, like I'm on the brink of burnout, I'm exhausted, I need something now. Start, the first thing I would say is counseling. So really invest in yourself and get counseling. A lot of organizations these days are going to pay for you to get the counseling. So if you're worried about the cost, look at your health benefits and see if that's something that your insurance will cover. Adopting mindfulness practices. Research has shown that mindfulness literally changes the brain, makes the brain more resilient, and can help repair previous harm from stress and trauma. So really adopting mindfulness practices can be a game changer. Implementing intentional sleep, rest, and rejuvenation practices. If you are already experiencing stress, you are depleted, you are exhausted, you need to pour back into yourself. So at this stage of stress experience, your goal really should be looking at how you can feed yourself mind, body, and spirit to replenish what has been drained because of all the stress that you have experienced at work. When we think about tier three interventions for organizations, what companies can do is create more flexible work arrangements as it relates to hours that people are working, so implementing remote work and so on. Employee resource groups, even though I talked about them as a tier two intervention, they can also be considered a tier three intervention because company cultures that don't promote diversity often result in higher levels of stress and lower performance and high turnover for employees. So ERGs can be used to reinforce the value and importance of diversity in organizations. Implementing training for managers and leaders, so really helping your managers, your leadership develop effective management skills that actually aim to avoid re-traumatizing or increasing the stress that your employees face. Implementing ERGs without putting leadership in place that is dedicated to actually making employees feel included, safe, and valued, and less stressed is futile. Like, leadership has to be on board with changing culture, with creating safe spaces. And so training is key for making that happen. And again, shameless plug, I'm happy to work with you in terms of training. If you visit my website, hercareerdoctor.com/trauma-informed leadership, you can learn all about the leadership training and consulting that I do with organizations. Finally, organizations can implement just general healthcare management policies. So wellness programs that promote employees' physical and mental health can be really critical for managing stress. Wellness can go such a long way to helping employees develop stress management abilities. And it's important that in addition to implementing all these things, that leadership is also modeling what it looks like to take a break, to foster mental health, to engage in self-care, because you can have all these resources in place, but also have employees that feel very scared to leverage them. Employees often will feel scared to take their PTO to use, the healthcare benefits because they're worried about how it will make them look. Will they look like they're not committed to their work? Will leadership see them as being weak? You know, what will people say about them? Like, that is a common fear that employees have around leveraging wellness resources. And so the onus falls on leadership to model what that looks like, model taking a break and taking a break publicly, letting your team know that you are okay with them taking breaks by doing it for yourself, normalizes the behavior, normalizes the act of taking care of oneself in the organization. So I hope you'll notice from me sharing individual and organizational strategies that neither one or the other can effectively mitigate work stress without the other one. So at the individual level, employees absolutely need to be doing what they can to develop coping strategies. However, organizations also need to be intentional about creating spaces and culture that minimizes work stress, because in the long run, companies who do this tend to benefit because they're now experiencing lower turnover, increased productivity, increased engagement, increased motivation, and are spending less on accident and health outcomes. According to the World Health Organization, for every dollar that is put into treatment for common mental health disorders, there's a return of $4 in improved health and productivity of your employees. So when you take time and actually invest in your employees, it's just that, it's an investment, and you will see a return on your investment. So I hope those strategies were helpful for you in thinking about ways to mitigate stress, prevent stress, or even cope with stress when it does occur, both for yourself in your personal life and for your organization. If you're listening to this and you know someone who needs to hear it because you know they're feeling stressed, send it to them. Share this episode with them. Or maybe you know a leader who has a team that is stressed and needs to do something about it ASAP-tually. Send this episode to them so that they can start thinking about changes they can make, but also investments they can make to make that happen for the organization. Thanks for listening to this episode. All the resources I mentioned will be in the show notes below, so check those out. I know I talked about FYFC, I talked about leadership training, so check those out in the show notes below, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. If you haven't yet, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Also, let's continue the conversation. Take a screenshot of this episode and share it on Instagram. Tag me at Her Career Doctor and let me know your main takeaway. Thanks again for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.